It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of Matthew, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we're in the 10th chapter. We're going to begin reading with the 5th verse, and so please, Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So glad that you've joined us today. Let's begin reading now. Let's get right to the study. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, and freely you have received and freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatever city or town ye enter, ye shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. We're going to stop with the reading in that 20th verse, and we're going to ask the Lord to direct us through this study. Dear Father, please, that you would show us your way and will as we enjoy this study today. You are about to send out these 12 apostles to proclaim your precious word. And so you've given them much direction. And so I ask, Father, that we learn from the instructions that you give them, and that we may too be quick and ready to take out your precious word. Guide and lead us now. Touch every heart. The Lord Jesus is beginning serving in his ministry here, taking out the gospel. And we need to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that death and that resurrection not only took our sins away but gave us life. We need to believe that, and we need to come by faith, trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, for our salvation. Please touch every heart today. Don't let anyone leave this time that we're spending without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. That's a time you never forget. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The command went forth to not talk to the Gentiles and not go into the to Samaria, but to the Jews. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This wasn't a suggestion. This was a commandment. And so we find here that the Samaritans, for instance, in Samaria, why the king of Assyria was responsible for bringing in the mixed multitudes into that area. Many of them come from Babylon or other places that the king of Assyria had conquered, and they would bring them into this region that we know as Samaria. And so there was a mixture there of idolatry, and they wanted to intermix that with the Jehovah, with the true God. And so in the process of that, and that's what we have today, we have a mixture of religion. We have the ones that believe there is Jehovah God and that Jesus was born, virgin born, lived, was crucified, died, and rose again, but they have intermingled and interlocked in works such as baptism or such as church membership. There's many things that have been locked in that should not be, because the gospel is to be given out, is to be given freely, as the scripture says here. It says, provide no silver or gold. We're to go out and they're to not take it with it. And in verse 8 it says, freely ye have received and freely give. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is something that we need to be giving out freely. And so as we take our opportunities and our time to give that gospel out, it needs to be the pure gospel, not intermingled with idol worship. And you say, well, you know, my church, they believe you have to be baptized to be saved. Well, that is adding to the Word of God. If you believe that once you are born again that you can lose your salvation, that's adding to the Word of God. We need to take the Word of God as it is, trust it, and walk with our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was the original command, that to this point we're not going to go to the Gentiles. Do not go to Samaria. We know the Lord Jesus came through Samaria. We know that he witnessed to the woman at the well. We know that the gospel was taken to the Gentiles, but not at this time. Right now, he is sending his apostles out really for one more opportunity to reach the Jews. And so the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Matter of fact, they would even pray first thing in the morning that, please don't let my eyes even see a Samaritan. I mean, they were that much against each other. And so the Gentiles, Jesus loved the whole world. Jesus died for the whole world. But right now, not the Gentiles. Go, and it says in the scripture here in verse 8, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so, again, I ask the question, then why not Samaritans and why not the Gentiles? Because that's God's plan. And later, and we can go to different places, but I'm going to use the scripture in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, the 8th verse. But ye receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So you see, when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, when the church was born, now it's time. Israel, sad to say, has been set aside. And the Gentiles, and including Samaria, and even the Jews, I mean, it says both in Jerusalem. See, the nation has been set aside, but not the people. The people can be saved. Jews can be saved. Gentiles can be saved. Those in Samaria can be saved. And all the uttermost part of the earth, as the scripture says. And so, and I love that, it says, when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. You know, the day that we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, and it comes to live within our heart. What a wonderful opportunity we have. And so as we look at Acts there, we know that there's going to be a time that the gospel will be taken out to the Gentiles. But the first mission, they were instructed to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, we find, and let's go to another scripture verse here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. I hope you know your Bible well enough to follow along with me. I do not have it pre-marked. I don't have it written down ahead. I look up the scripture verses with you so that you have time. And so please, if you have trouble finding these, do some Bible drills. Do the books of the Bible. You know, start out Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go through all the books of the Bible. Get them in your mind, and then start opening your Bible often and finding different books. You know, just say, "Hey, I want to look up Ephesians," and so find it. And that way, when we're studying together or when you're at church, you can find those things. And I hope you attend a place where you carry your Bible. If you don't, you need to find another place. It's just that simple. You need to have your Bible with you, have your sword along with you at all times. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, the death, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, when he rose again, he took down that center, that wall of partition. And so as we're back here now and we're saying we're just going to the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 is walking upon the earth. He has not faced the cross yet. He has not risen again. That comes later. And so when he does that, that's when the door is open to the Gentiles and unto Samaria. Now, we're going to take a look at this lost sheep. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. Once again, we go to Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. You know, we need to know the books of the Bible, and we need to enjoy searching for them. And so I do take time to find it, and so I hope that you have adequate time as well. Ezekiel chapter 34. Some of those minor prophets are kind of hard to find sometimes. Ezekiel is not one of those, but some of the little ones, why, they can really hide in there. So you have to take a little bit of time to do it. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2. I'll start out with verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" You want to know why it's a lost house of Israel? That's the reason. They were not cared for. They were not taught. Why do you think everybody is moved with every wind of doctrine today? And some of these churches, we call them churches, they're nothing short of cults because they have left the Word of God. Why do you think people flock there and are not wise enough in the Word of God to know they're being lied to? It's because of the shepherds. The pastors, the preachers have not been preaching the Word of God properly. Your dad didn't teach you. Your granddad didn't teach you. I thank and praise the Lord that I was born again And sad to say, it wasn't through my home. It wasn't through my household. It wasn't from my grandfather and my father. I praise the Lord that actually strangers brought the Word of God to me and showed me the truth, and I thank and praise the Lord. Here it tells us, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" Verse 3. "Ye eat the fat, ye clothe, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." They were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Once again, why was the command to go out first? Because the covenant was given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 actually through verse 7. They were sheep who had been led astray and abandoned, left to wander. And again, why did he choose the Jews over the Gentiles and the Samaritans? Because that was the covenant made with Abraham. The Jews first. Jesus, the Jews were given the message first. But the sad thing is, they rejected it. The 12 were given instructions, not only who to go see and who to talk to, but also they were given instructions on what they were to say. "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That is the same message that John the Baptist gave. It was exactly the same message that was given up until the time that Jesus was crucified and risen, and when he ascended, it became the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed to the "here from the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Yes, the Lord Jesus had come to set his kingdom up. His kingdom was to set up with the Jews, but they denied it. And so it was turned over then to the Gentiles, to the church age, to the gospel age. And now we're in the gospel age. We're the church age. That's the dispensation we're in. But that time will come to an end here, I believe, very shortly. And the church will leave. The church will be taken up. The church will be raptured. And then once again, in the tribulation period, that 7-year period, the same preaching will come. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, because it is truly soon to come, because we know it's just a literal seven-year period, and then we'll have the battle of Armageddon, and we'll usher in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So his kingdom is at hand. But the reason for that is because now we're once again during the tribulation. We're calling the Jews. The Jews are being called here. And then we'll have the time of the Gentiles. And then the Jews will return during that tribulation period. It'll be an awful time of suffering. We're working on that right now during the Sunday message. We're enjoying that. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. We have the seven seals. You have the seven trumpets, you have the seven vials, and you have the three woes. All those things are giving us, and as we have opened each one, we saw the seven churches to begin with, and then we begin to open one at a time these seals. And between the sixth and the seventh seal, we have the showing of the 144,000 as they come to win this lost world. And there is a multitude that cannot be numbered that are saved during that time, but there is an equal multitude of greater number that's going to be facing the hellfires because of their rejection of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So they have been sent out. They've been sent out with a message. The message is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it begins with other instructions. It says, you have been empowered with the ability to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. You're freely receiving this, so you're to freely give this. Now, not every individual that came in contact with these 12 men were healed. But those that came seeking were healed. Some were raised from the dead, as it tells us. Many had devils cast out. They received a very special anointing in the office they held. Now, when the last apostle died, these gifts left. This was a special time, the introduction of the church. They were sent out right here just for the Jews only, but there was a time that they were to go out into all the world. But when the apostles died, these special gifts that many people claim to have today do not exist today because they went away with the apostles. We have the Word of God today. We have no need for these to show us the power. We are not to charge, as the Scripture says. They're not to charge when they heal someone. If they'd raise somebody from the dead, they weren't to say, okay, now give me X amount of money, X amount of gold or silver or brass for that. You know, you're receiving it freely, God says, Jesus says, so you give it freely. You are not in any way to charge, not to do that for the filthy lucre. There were some in that day that were pretenders. We have pretenders today that say they cast out demons, that say they heal the sick and things of that, but they are fake, they are phony. That power went away. God can still do it, but he does not lay that power upon an individual. Maybe God will use an individual, but that is a power that is given from God, not. You cannot call a healing service, because God heals upon his own time, not upon your time. So we need to understand that those things went away. They are given much instruction here. In verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass. We have the three levels of exchange of monies, gold, silver, and brass. They're placed in order from the highest price to the least, but they were not to take any with them. They were also told for their journey that they were to not really take any more than what they can just carry. In other words, they're not to pack a suitcase because they're going to be gone for a week. We not only have in these couple of scripture verses here in 9 and 10. They're forbidden to take the money, gold, silver, and brass. They're forbidden to take any extra food. They're forbidden to take any extra clothing with them. They're not to go out and buy something extra. It says nor yet staves. And yet in the other gospel it says, you know, take that stave that you have. So you're not to go out and make extra purchases for this trip that you're going to go on, for this mission work that you're going to do. You are to just go out, take care of it, and God will meet your needs. And so the clothing, take what you have. There's no need to go out and purchase any more. The food, not in any excess, because God is going to provide. This was not always the case, but it was for this missionary trip. This time when God was sending out, he gave them these directions. But it's not going to always be that way. If you would move and turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And here's a scripture verse we're going to read, verse 35, Luke 22:35. And he said to them, "When I send you without purse or scrip and shoes, lack ye anything?" And they said, "Nothing." And then said he unto them, "But now ye that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must ye be accomplished in me. And ye was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have any end." And so when we come, one more verse, and they said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." And he said to them, "That's enough." Okay. So you see, he sent them out that time in Luke more prepared for the day and for the travel and for what may be out there. And then we come back in the very end of the 10th verse. It says the reason that they were not to take these provisions is not that they were to fast this whole time or to go without, but for the workman is worthy of his meat. A preacher should be cared for. Let's go to back to Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Luke chapter 10, the 7th verse. "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." Now, we kind of have the same instruction that we're going to receive here in Matthew. When they go into a village, they're to seek out a village that is worthy. And we're going to talk about that next time of what comes with that. Let's go to one more here. I think we have time to get this one in. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Again, I sure hope you know your Bible. If you don't, why, we need to get some work done on it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So often, and we'll kind of close with this thought, the thought of the church is that the preacher, God's going to take care of you. So it's not our responsibility, but it is the responsibility of the church to take care of the pastor. So many times the pastor is starved. I asked one time, I was asked what a pastor should make, and I said, "What's the average wage in your church?" that would be a good wage for your pastor to have to begin with. Oh, that's too much. Why would that be too much when the very one that is feeding you the Word of God, is there anything greater for you to receive? We're going to begin there next week. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?